Good evening. Good evening. We're listening to some low frequency, very low frequency audio recordings by Stephen P. McGreevy on Electric Enigma. This is 87.9 FM, Radio Past, Radio Future. And welcome to the broadcast this evening. Just want to say a few words about what we're doing tonight. So on Radio Past, Radio Future, we have opened a place in time and space in the lobby between the microwaves and the small cells to give you a choice. Of course, we're broadcasting well below the legal power limits, and we wanted to let you know that this is a really important moment in history, and we all have a choice to make. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that choice, and it's a choice about the future that we want to see, and the future we want to live for ourselves and for the planet, for our children, for everyone. I'm going to share two visions of the future with you now. We're going to listen to these. Okay, once again, Radio Past, Radio Future on 87.9 FM, Brooklyn, New York. This first reading is from Shannon Mattern's book called Data, Code, and Clay. I think I'm missing a word in there somewhere, but hopefully Shannon won't mind too much. Anyway, this is a great book. And I just want to share with you the vision of the future that Shannon shared with us. And I think it's important to understand this vision and this future. So this piece is called Building Hudson Yards. Here, as elsewhere, infrastructure begets infrastructure. Track beds carve a foundation for future development. All those new steel and concrete structures serve as scaffolding for the installation of wired, wireless, and satellite technologies, providing commercial tenants with super-fast, dead-zone-free connectivity. And those massive platforms and building facades provide seemingly boundless surface area for all the embedded technology needed to transform this entire development into the country's first ever quantified community. New York University's Center for Urban Science and Progress, CUSP, is partnering with the developers to install sensors, implement tracking apps, embed Internet of Things linked to devices, and apply modeling software to capture data on pedestrian flow and traffic, air quality, energy production and consumption, waste flows, and residents' health and activity levels. This datafication of the city is also simultaneously the mediation of the city. Those data are harvested, cleaned, filtered, analyzed, and rendered visible and intelligible and actionable via an assemblage of media, from sensors to screens, smartphone apps to building management systems. At the political extreme, these technologies might be employed to monitor citizens' behavior and impose sanctions or restrict movement, and even to transform entire cities into proprietary operating systems. Or they could both simultaneously empower and surveil, optimize and oppress. So that's from Shannon Mattern's book. And I just want you all to think about that future for a minute and think about if that's the future we want, a future that is quantified, datafied. Or is there another future that we can dream of? So think about that for a minute. I'm going to bring back some whistlers for you from Stephen McGreevy. I think about how many times my face has been captured in a day as I walk around this city. And I went to Hudson Yards the other day and I got stuck in an elevator and I thought about how strange it would be if my last few moments on Earth in this elevator in Hudson Yards with my face being captured and quantified into some data stream. I thought how strange. And I remembered how a friend, or she's not a friend, but someone special to me got caught in an elevator years ago, and that elevator was in the shaft when a fireball, this was right after 9/11 in New York City, and people were a little jumpy at the time. So she was in the elevator at her studio, which was sort of an illegal building, you know, one of those places between time and space where for a minute something can happen that's outside of time and space, and maybe it's a creative act. So anyway, she was in this elevator, and as she was getting in, there was a guy that was kind of trying to push past her to get in the elevator, and she wasn't really taking it that day, and they kind of jostled against each other and you know, did a little dance as to who was going to get into the elevator. Or where they were going to stand in the elevator, and so that she was going down. She was on the, I think, on the sixth or seventh floor, and so that minute of jostling, just that little minute of jostling, it saved her life, because as it turned out, a fireball came up from the basement of the building that she was in, and it shot up into the elevator shaft. And it was only because she had spent that moment jostling with this guy in the elevator, that the elevator was still on the fifth floor when this fireball took out all the floors in beneath them in the building, floors one through the basement through to floor four. And she lived. And I thought about that when I was in the elevator at Hudson Yards, and I thought about how strange if your last few minutes on Earth were in an elevator with facial recognition. And we're gonna give you the chance to decide. So here's your second reading, and this is from an anonymous, a collective pamphlet called Inhabit, Instructions for Autonomy. And they say there are two paths, the end of the world or the beginning of the next. You have to choose. So here are the instructions for autonomy from Inhabit. Number one, find each other. Number two, establish hubs. Number three, become resilient. Number four, share a future. Number five, bring the fight. Number six, expand the network. Number seven, build autonomy. Number eight, destitute infrastructure. Number nine, become ungovernable. So I'm not gonna tell you which of these paths to choose tonight, but I will say it's time to choose.
And I will I be pretty? Here's what she said to me. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. What will be. When I grew up and fell in love, I asked my sweetheart, what lies ahead? Will we have rainbows day after day? Here's what my sweetheart said. Que será, será, whatever will be, the future's not ours to see. Que será, será, what will be, now I have children of my own, they ask their mother, what will I be? Will I be handsome? Will I be rich? I tell them tenderly. Que será, será, whatever will be, the future's not ours to see. Que será, será, what will be.
It's dangerous to assume that whatever we've been doing, we're going to keep doing that. You know, the future is more of the same, more only more advanced. During the frenzy about the new millennium, I reread an old book, I think was a collection by Harry Harrison, called The Year 2000. Oh. And it was done back in 1970. And that means the stories were written in the 60s, thereabouts. And over again, you saw that what the writers were writing about was their own time, but just more of it, or harder, or higher, or whatever, you know, more of the same. I think the one thing we can be sure of is that we won't have, you know, straight line prophecy coming true, that whatever technological things we're doing now, let's do more of that and better. I think we'll get surprises. September 11th is certainly an example of that. So was the fall of the Soviet Union. I think it's dangerous to assume that that we can actually see the future by only looking at the technological advancements we've made so far. I want to get something in for a moment. I want to kind of go back to the idea of where will we find the wisdom to do the right things with the new tools that science offers us. Oddly enough, I found them in the places that Harlan doesn't like. It's not wisdom that we're going to need, really. We'll need it, but we probably won't show that much of it, let me put it that way. I think what we're going to need is breaks in an odd sort of way, especially when it comes to changing human beings in ways that might not necessarily be good for us.
What you need to know is that this is a version of Aristotle's metaphysics that takes every instance of the word is and the word not and turns them into a score of music. So the low notes that you hear are not, and the high notes that you hear are is. So as we think about the future we're choosing and what we're going to do, what we can do when we speak to the past and how we speak to the future and how we speak to the past to build the future, is and is not. Olivia DeVecchia on 87.9, Radio Past, Radio Future, broadcasting from the lobby.